Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk.
Welcome in. This is Coffee Break. I'm Troy Shockley. Thanks for joining us this morning. I do appreciate that. And joining us today is Lewis and Clark. This is a hard job, Susan. I get paid to talk, and I struggle. Lewis and Clark County Commissioner Susan Goodgeese is our guest this morning. How are you?
You know what? I'm very happy to be here. Thanks a lot for including me today, Troy.
Yeah, it's always fun when it's Susan Day on Coffee Break. And I was going to ask you if you had any plans for the holidays, but found out right before we started that it sounds like you've got a pretty big week coming up. You have to have plans. You're obligated.
Of course I have plans. You know, I am married to a man on December 21st, we're 12 years. He's kind of a recluse, a little bit of a hermit, not much of a celebrator, a little bit of a Grinch. But on December 21st, we'll have been married 12 years, so we have our anniversary. The 25th, of course, is Christmas. The 26th is my birthday. So he gears up big time for 1 week, and then he can go back to his beautiful, lovely, Grinchy self for the rest of the 51 weeks.
So you saved that. You're beautiful and lovely next to Grinch.
You know what? He is. He is all those things.
We need to have him on the show sometime.
Oh, boy. I got to tell you, that'll probably be a pretty big treat.
Yeah. We ought to have him in before you leave us. So because how long do you have left serving on the commission?
I have 379 days today.
Yeah. So we'll have to have him in before you leave.
I'll tell you what. They'll never forget it. He's the man of 10,000 stories, and they are all amazing, and they are all true.
Well, if you put the word out, if you ask him, well, I will definitely put him on the schedule.
Okay. Good luck on that.
Susan's nervous about what he may say if he agrees. Susan, when we're talking plans, you guys have been discussing plans for a new subdivision in the Valley for a little while now. I guess, can you explain to the listeners sort of just step one, sort of what is the topic? What have you been talking about? Because that all kind of came to at least a preliminary decision yesterday.
Right. And boy, this has been a very interesting exercise. So as many people realize, Lewis and Clark County, and in fact all counties, are governed by statute, and counties can only do what the statute directly directs them to do. So there are very strict parameters about the granting or denial of subdivisions. And when Lewis and Clark County has been wrong, for those with long memories, they know that we've paid very expensive tuition when we make a decision that is not legal. So when subdivisions come, there are only very few reasons that they can be denied. And the subdivision that came before us yesterday is, by the way, by a really terrific developer. He is very good, very reputable, does very nice work. But it is over in the East North Hills, where there has been much discussion for decades about the availability of water. And the subdivision that is being proposed is quite large. And there was a lot of pushback from neighboring community members who were concerned that with the addition of those new residences, that water that many believe to be scarce will be further depleted. But when we take a look at subdivisions, what the law requires us to do is to take a look only at the water availability within the parameters of that subdivision. So within the 160 acres that was under discussion, we have to look only within that 160 acres to see what the water availability is.
Not
there.
Not necessarily what it could be.
Regardless of what is happening with outlying areas, absent definitive proof, objective proof, that other people's water and wells would be diminished. We have a lot of anecdotal evidence about that, but the recent studies that we have pushed for and that the Water Quality Protection District will be putting out right after the 1st of January, the preliminary reports are that of the wells that they had been monitoring, that was not the case about the diminishing water. So there was a lot of testimony the last couple of weeks. And I really have to hand it to the people, the concerned neighbors. It was the most professional, well thought out, organized data we've seen in a long time. Very, very sad to be able to tell those people no yesterday. Mm-hmm. And the developer came and their data was solid. And at the end of the day, we have two competing sets of data from the potentially affected homeowners, data from the developer, and then what we relied on was the Water Quality Protection District data, because they have no dog in the fight. They have no skin in the game. And so we deemed that to be the most objective and credible. Although I really have to hand it to those people. But interestingly, tonight, Wednesday, out at Montana Wild, we will be having the first of two zoning meetings mm-hmm. this week. And had zoning been in place, which in my opinion should have been in place long, long ago, this project would not have been possible, because the density that was discussed in this current subdivision would not be allowed under the zoning.
Right. Yeah, we're talking this morning with Lewis and Clark County Commissioner Susan Good-Giese, and that subdivision, it's going to have some fairly large lots when we're talking subdivision, like 5 acre, some of them 2.5. Right. But that's not large when you're talking about population density and, you know, potentially scarce water. And that's what they're worried about, is all of a sudden we've got a lot more water coming out.
And the density that we'd be looking out there would probably be something more along the lines of, 10 acres. Mm-hmm. And it's always a big challenge with when you're working with zoning or talking about development, because people have private property rights. But, private property rights belong not only to the developer, but also to the people who have lived there for a long time. And what zoning will do, why we are pushing for it so hard, is that it will provide a measure of predictability for people, so that they know that their property values will be intact.
Well, and I suppose that's a little bit of a hard fight, right, when we talk zoning, convincing people that this is important, right? Because it sounds like a bureaucratic thing. It sounds
sure
like,
does.
You know what, I don't care what the papers say. This is where I live. This is what I do.
It's my land. I'll do what I want.
Right. It sounds very bureaucratic, governmental, but it matters.
Oh, it absolutely matters, because for most people, the investment in their home is the biggest investment that they have in their whole life. And so you need to do everything you can to protect everybody's quality of life. But it is always – it's a naturally occurring tension between different private property owners and their rights. Certainly, a developer who owns property has the right to maximize its potential, but at the same time, you have to balance his rights between the rights of people who have lived there for 30 or 40 years and expect a certain quality of life. But we've got people moving into Lewis and Clark County all the time. There's been a big push for more affordable housing. I'm hoping that some of these developments will put up housing that the average person can afford.
Yeah, well, and this sounds like something that you did give the preliminary approval yesterday, you and the board. But it sounded like you and your fellow commissioners, it was sort of a, we're going to do this, but we do admittedly have some concerns.
Yes, we do have concerns. But again, I want to emphasize that this particular developer, he's got a great reputation, and he certainly does fine work. He's experienced. But this zoning is going to be exceptionally challenging. So we're going to have this meeting tonight, Wednesday night, and out at Montana Wild. I believe it's at 6:00. And then tomorrow night, it's out at Tri Lakes. And we're hoping that neighbors will come, and people who have questions and concerns, or they just want to know what's going on, because we're really working hard to get public input, because we hope to have this zoning, the public hearings, in February.
Yeah. Well, and there's going to be more meetings in January.
Yep.
Plan.
And I've been pushing like only I am able to push. I'm the pushiest woman in Montana, I think, to have this done by Valentine's Day.
Yeah, because we are going to have a plan coming in, and that's sort of where the growth policy comes into effect too, right?
Exactly. And, you know, we put that into place a while ago, and it governs what we do. It's kind of our roadmap. And so the reason that this has not been done in the past is because we know that we're going to take a lot of heat on this, but we absolutely believe that this is the right thing to do. I have heard literally hundreds of people in my 6.5 years on the commission come and say, it's too crowded, or this won't work, or this is going in next to us. You know, we've got this beautiful community out here, and now somebody wants to come and put a big industrial deal right in the middle of it, and, you know, don't let them do that. And we have to, if we don't have zoning in place, we can't afford those protections for people.
Yeah. So these meetings, very important for folks out in the Valley, particularly. Once again, the meeting's set to take place. It's from 6 to 9 tonight out at Montana Wild. That's on Broadwater Avenue right there down by Spring Meadow. And then again at 6 o'clock, another meeting out at Tri-Lakes there down on Spokane Creek Road is where that is. So go and check that out, because that's very important for you, too, just to hear what the public, I mean, going to bring up concerns that you didn't necessarily think about.
Yes, and so we'll have our planners there tonight. They've been preparing for this for a long time. This has been a very, very heavy lift, but it is one of the things that Lewis and Clark County needs to have. We should have done this a long time ago. But it takes a lot of political steel to put yourself up for that, because we know that we're going to get a lot of pushback. But on the other hand, we've had people begging us to please, you know, they've tried citizen initiated zoning in response to a specific implied threat or mm-hmm. or perceived threat to their lifestyle. And when that part one zoning happens, boy, then you got neighbor against neighbor, boy. That's never good. That is never good. And it's dangerous, as a matter of fact, and doesn't do anything for our sense of community. So it is, and we've had a spate of those. And so citizens have the ability to do this, and it's because local government doesn't have the guts to do it, but this particular commission does.
Yeah, well, and this particular commissioner has the guts to sit in here and let me pepper her with questions all morning. She's going to let me keep doing that, but we do have to take a quick break. So we're going to do that, and then we'll come back more with Susan Goodgeese after this. I just wanted to step away from the show for a few seconds to tell you that if you miss an episode, you can always catch up. We're on iTunes, so find our show there or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Local and area events, city, state, and national officials, your neighbors doing incredible things. We talk to them all on Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk.
In today's always-on world, your business demands a simpler approach to network security. At Blackfoot Communications, we deliver state-of-the-art security solutions from the perimeter to endpoint devices and remote data backup for businesses across Montana. Ensure your company's network is online all the time. For more information, visit goblackfoot.com/security.
Welcome back in. This is Coffee Break, and I'm Troy Shockley. Thanks for sticking around this morning. Lewis and Clark County Commissioner Susan Goodgeese is our guest today. We've been talking zoning. That's very exciting conversation, right? But I think we pulled it off.
Yep, I think we'll see what happens as time moves forward. But it's going to be a big, heavy lift between now and then. But it's a job that is long past due.
Yeah, well, and there's also some meetings happening up in Lincoln when it comes to the Lincoln Valley. The collaborative public lands management proposal. It's a mouthful.
Right. It is. And it is a heck of a proposal. And the Lewis and Clark County Commission, each one of us has signed a letter in great support of that. And I'm not a wilderness person. I think we have plenty of course, I live in beautiful downtown Augusta, right? So I'm used to the wilds, but there is some wilderness that's tied in with this, which always gives me cause to pause. But when I met with the people in Lincoln and I saw and witness the depth of their participation in this collaborative process. Boy, those guys were not window dressing. They weren't there just mm-hmm. for show. Those people, those locals who live that reality, were not only familiar with it, they were the authors of much of that plan. And over the course of the negotiations for creating that plan, there were several times when people just, you know, had had enough and got mad and got up and walked away, but they always came back. And I am a big believer in local control, and the people who live that reality should have the loudest voice. And so when those people in Lincoln were able to tell me and show me the work that they had done on the maps and how it accommodates every conceivable aspect of life in that area, I wholeheartedly support that. Even though there are parts of it that I don't like, I bet you that every single person who is involved in that collaborative has parts in it that they don't like, but it was the best product that was available, and it will give the people in Lincoln a degree of predictability and certainty, but also, more importantly, at least to me, their ability to manage their forests in a way that will prevent forest fires, or at least lessen the intensity when they do when they do occur.
So, what is the timeline there? I mean, how does something like that once it all comes together and it comes before a commission and all that, then there's that step of now we have to actually make this happen.
And making it happen is that, to tell you the truth, Lewis and Clark County, I mean, we're just really bit players here because this is something that needs to go to Congress. So the letter that we all signed was a letter of support to Senator Dane, Senator Tester, and Congressman Gianforte, urging them to support this and get this shepherded through Congress. And it will be a very long process. These things always are. And sometimes they are, sometimes they're used as a political tool, mm-hmm. which is always just tragic for the locals who are involved. But that's just the world we live in. Like I say, the hard, hard work and the heavy lifting was done over the last several years by the folks in Lincoln.
Yeah, Lincoln has some good folks up there.
They do. And I was at my what turns out to be my last Upper Blackfoot Valley Community Council meeting last night, and I told those folks I was leaving. I won't be participating in that next year. Every first of the year, the Lewis and Clark County Commissioners divvy up our responsibilities and the boards that we serve on. And I have hogged that board in Lincoln for too long. And so it'll be Commissioner McCormick who will be going to Lincoln for their third Tuesday of the month meetings.
Yeah, they'll like Jim.
They will. Who wouldn't like
he's
Jim?
He's a fairly likable
guy.
Who
wouldn't like Jim? No, and they will be well served by him. He'll do a great job for them. But Lincoln will always be very, very near and dear to my heart. And I think it's very important. And I told those people in Lincoln, I believe that it's really important to have a rural commissioner on Lewis and Clark County Commissioner. Mm-hmm. And you know, my district is of course Augusta. I hope we could get somebody from Augusta to run for my seat. Filing starts next month. But if not Augusta, then Wolf Creek or Lincoln, you know, in coming elections. The District 2 is the one that's up now, which is the heart of Helena. And then it jumps over to Augusta. You can't find two more dissimilar groups of folks.
Yeah, well, you just have to convince them to be willing to come and hang out with us big city folk for, you know.
Absolutely, because I'll tell you what, this is an education that would just what a gift this has been for me. And I've got a little skosh more than a year left, and I don't plan to waste a day.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate the work that you do. And you mentioned during our break, and something is certainly worth mentioning, is something that you guys have talked about on the commission, is the work over there at the Trap Club, the flood mitigation work, something that was going to be done in the summer. And then they said, you know what, it's going to have to kind of coordinate with the school district and work through the school year. And they've done a fantastic job, but they need a little bit more time.
Yeah, they do need just a little bit more time. We had planned, we'd put everything in place, and the money that we were getting for that project, which was a couple $1 million, was coming from FEMA and Federal Emergency Management Association. And so the We were not able to get that deal absolutely closed until way late. School was ready to start, but that project is now virtually complete. We're just needing to put up some more guardrails because that, as you, if, for people who drive by, that ditch is doggone deep. And it runs right by a school and, you know, runs parallels the road. So we need to make sure that we have all the safety features in place as well. God willing, that thing will never be filled with water. But in the, you know, in the event of another flood, that'll be a huge, huge help. And really kudos to our Public Works Department who has worked together with the school district. We sure want to thank everybody from who sends their kids to Rossiter School for their patience. We know that this has been a little bit disruptive, and we'll get that tied up as quickly as we can.
Yeah, but that company, as you said, they've done a great job of trying to be as, you know, getting out of the way as much as possible, working when no traffic is going on that road or little traffic is going there on Sierra. And they've done it's been a dance, but they've been doing it well.
You know, they are, and it is for a very good reason. And actually, I had a very strong critic regarding flood issues, and somebody who really was very unhappy when we put in that RID and assessed that $100 a year. And by golly, he came up to me the other day at a weed meeting, and he said, weed board meeting, and he said, Commissioner, I got to tell you, in 50 years, this is the most effective thing I've ever seen the county do out there. And I, boy, oh boy, coming from that gent, boy, that I told my Public Works guys right away, they were pleased.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you mentioned that thing being full. If that thing is full of water, we've got a lot of water because it's going to be able to handle thousands and thousands of gallons of water.
A bunch. And that is, you know, and that is one of the key parts of the flood mitigation plan. And, you know, when we, it was very difficult to ask those property owners out there to pay $100 annually towards flood mitigation. That many of them were very, very unhappy. But that's the money that we used for the match for the FEMA grant.
Yeah, it's a fantastic project. And it looks nice. I mean, they could have just dug a ditch and said, okay, well, here it is. You know what? Yeah. It looks very nice. We've got about 4 minutes left, Susan, about three and a half. And I guess it's that time of the calendar year where we look back and ahead, right? So
you bet.
How has the commission done this year? What are the wins of the year?
I'm so proud of us. My colleagues are really, really great. Jim McCormick and Andy Hunthausen, our staff, has been terrific. Obviously, this Trap Club project is huge. I can't say enough thanks for all of the Public Works guys who work so hard in unbelievably poor conditions up in the north end of the county during the winter time. And for me, of course, the happiest thing that happened for me was the passage of the nonpartisan elections for Lewis and Clark County residents for county offices. Our time, I think, was really well spent. If there were ever a legacy project for me, that would be it. I am thrilled with that result.
So let's look ahead to 2020 then. What's on tap for
the Z word, zoning and zoning. And we have a few more things that we need to do. And we've got the county's in great fiscal shape. We've just got the best staff ever. And we really want to let the citizens know how grateful we are that as we do these projects in their neighborhood, about how kind they are and how that they show a lot of respect to our workers, and we're grateful for that.
Yeah, well, and we do want to. We've got just a couple minutes left. We should probably mention the 2020 census is coming up.
Andy,
Commissioner Hunthausen is going to be very upset if we didn't mention that.
Yes, if we don't mention the census, I might not. He won't probably won't let me have my coffee this morning. But boy, that's coming up, and it is really, really crucial. And every single person needs to be counted. And we have ongoing efforts for that. Commissioner Hunthausen has done a terrific job in leading that process. And the other co-chair is Mayor Schell from East Helena.
We need to have him back in on the show.
You know what? He's a dynamite mayor.
Yeah.
He is a wonderful mayor.
Well, and they're doing a lot of great things out there in East Helena. And he was
going
to talk
glorious
about some of them. And we need to have him back in because they're doing really great work out there.
Boy, I'll tell you what, it's a real renaissance out there in East Helena. Good for them.
Yeah, it's really, really good. Detention center, we got about 45 seconds. How's that going?
You know, we're on time and on budget. Boy, that's music to my ears. And it's very important that we get that done as quickly as possible. We need to be able to provide different kinds of health care services there, particularly mental health services. And after the remodel is done and there'll be a better treatment available, better treatment areas, that's one of the things that's really really weighing heavily on our minds. Yeah. There's always work to do.
There's always something. Good things have happened in the calendar year, and good things are ahead.
Yep. That's the goal.
It's going to be fantastic. Susan, thanks for coming in.
Always a pleasure. Merry Christmas to you. And
you as well. And happy birthday and happy anniversary.
And happy
New Year. You got a whole lot.
I know it. Isn't it just the best?
And work on your husband. I want to have him on. He's my white whale now. I need to have him
on
the show.
I'm telling you what, he would rock this place.
We will extend the show. We'll go 45 minutes for him to come in.
It'd be worth it.
All right. Fantastic. Stick around. We've got more great programming coming up on KCAP. Tomorrow, we've got Helena Area Chamber of Commerce President and CEO Kathy Burwell coming by. I'm Troy Shockley, and that's it for Coffee Break today. Be sure to check us out on iTunes. Head on over. Give us a review there. That's always much appreciated. Or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you back here tomorrow.